Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday. It's November 12th, 2004. Great to be with you here on EWTN. So much to talk about as we continue to break down the election. 1 week ago today, most of us went to the polls or sent in our absentee ballots already, and now we have the results, and we're still waiting for the final House vote. There are some reports that say that the GOP also regained the House, but I see some incomplete reports, so I'm not going to say that's a case yet. We'll wait and see what happens because there's several races that are still out. But it does look, everything is pointing in that direction. But again, it's not official yet, so I just will hold off and then we'll give you an update if we hear anything before the end of the hour or, of course, in tomorrow's newscast. And then be sure to tune in this evening to our own EWTN News Nightly for the latest. Coming up in the program today, speaking of the election, how many of you have noticed the mental breakdowns that have been occurring online? It's very odd. People recording themselves, screaming, yelling, crying, bashing their heads against steering wheels, tearing their shirts, shaving their heads, claiming that they're not going to, women claiming they're not going to have any type of sexual relations, they're not going to get pregnant, they're not going to get married, they're not going to date, just all kinds of very frightening things being said. Another woman claiming that if your husband voted for Trump, you have to leave him, there's no excuses, you have to pack up now and go. And then a talk show host, as we discussed yesterday, talked about not being with family members who voted in the opposite way. Wait a minute, I thought they were all about inclusion and diversity. Anyway, how do we respond from a Catholic Christian perspective? Because we do have to live with a lot of these people and work with them, and we care about them. And what's happening? Some of it, I'm sure, especially as I outline in my book, Noise and Beyond Me, Myself, and I, a lot of it could be clickbait. They want to attract attention. They want people to look at them. I get that. But there are some real disturbing things being said and some real wild statements, and there's a complete meltdown going on. So what do we do about that? How do we approach it? Again, from a concerned perspective, we'll check in with Dr. Greg, the co-host of More to Life, heard right after this program every day on Catholic Connection, right on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. He's also with CatholicCounselors.com. We'll take a look at some of the things that are going on there. And then wrapping up with our friends from the Cardinal Newman Society, in terms of many of the great efforts that are out there in Catholic education to make a difference and promote the true teachings of the Church. And this is super important, and especially right after an election, because we know that many of the young people who vote are very influenced by where they go to school. And sometimes, a lot of the times, it's not very good in terms of what they're told and how they're brainwashed. But thanks be to God for the great people at the Cardinal Newman Society, and we'll get an update from them on how things are going and new programs that are out there that are making a real difference. So that is the show, as we say, on a Tuesday. It is a Tuesday, November 12th. Let's take a look at the weather before we break for the news. We have some issues out there. We have an atmospheric river that will bring heavy low elevation rain and high elevation mountain snow. This is in the Pacific Northwest and Northern California starting this evening. Then we have showers and thunderstorms bringing locally heavy rainfall and isolated flash flooding concerns to the lower Ohio, Tennessee, and Mississippi valleys, and that will happen through tomorrow. And then we also have some above average temps continuing for much of the nation. Cold fronts bringing more seasonable temperatures for the Northeast and the West, and that's going on today. Right now, it is just about 4 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN, your pro-life radio network. It is time to get started with the news, and don't forget your news is brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa, their website for their beautiful Catholic products, houseofjoppa.com. Well, Mark Mayfield tells us this morning President-elect Donald Trump reportedly expected to name Florida Senator Marco Rubio as the new Secretary of State.
The New York Times cites three sources familiar with Trump's thinking who say the president-elect could still change his mind. Rubio was elected to the Senate in 2010 and has taken hawkish stances on both China and Iran. He recently said Russia's war against Ukraine is a stalemate and needs to be brought to a conclusion. Rubio ran against Trump in the 2016 presidential primaries.
And the president-elect reportedly naming now South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. This comes after reports, as we just mentioned, that Trump has picked Florida Senator Rubio as the Secretary of State. At the same time, the president-elect already tapping former acting ICE Director Tom Homan to serve as the border czar, former Congressman from New York Lee Zeldin to lead the EPA, and New York Rep. Elise Stefanik to serve as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Lisa Taylor tells us Senate Republicans will pick their new leader tomorrow.
South Dakota's John Thune, Texas's John Cornyn, and Florida's Rick Scott are all vying for the party's leader position in the upper chamber. Ryan Nobles has more from Capitol Hill on Rick Scott's chances.
Scott has enlisted the help of many conservative internet influencers. He's gotten the endorsement of people like Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk. Unfortunately for Scott, though, none of those people actually have a vote in this secret ballot. And while he has had a number of his fellow senators come forward and publicly endorse him, at this point, he remains probably the third out of three possible candidates, with John Thune and John Cornyn leading the way.
The candidates are looking to replace Kentucky's Mitch McConnell, who's stepping aside as Republican leader.
More interesting stories coming out of this year's historic election. In the recent election in California, over 40% of voters there supported President-elect Trump. That's the highest for a Republican since George W. Bush back in 2004. Experts argue California residents may not be nearly as liberal as Governor Gavin Newsom believes. They're pointing to conservative ballot measures and the removal of progressive district attorney George Gascon. MSNBC's reliably liberal audience has tuned out the anti-Trump network since Election Day. According to new ratings results, a staggering 54% drop in primetime viewership. The network averaging 1.1 million viewers during the month of October, but plummeting to an average audience of 736,000 last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, following Donald Trump's historic landslide victory over Vice President Harris. MSNBC's remarkable 31% drop come as Fox News Channel's viewership grew by 61% over the same time period. During the primetime hours of 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, MSNBC averaged 1.8 million total viewers last month. But viewership of Alex Wagner Tonight, All In with Chris Hayes, and The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell have averaged only 808,000 total viewers since election night. The 54% drop represents more than half of the network's primetime viewers, and MSNBC is also down 51% from its year-to-date totals. Again, while Fox News is up 58% in primetime compared to 2024 averages. In other news this morning, the Diocese of Vulcan, California, announcing that it will pay up to $200 million, this to settle hundreds of abuse claims filed against it. Catholic News Agency reporting the diocese saying in a recent update on its website it had filed a proposal in bankruptcy court that would create a survivor's trust to provide compensation of between approximately $160 million and $198 million or more for approximately 345 claims. Just over $100 million will be provided by the diocese directly. The announcement said, well, up to $81 million would come from property in the diocesan real estate portfolio. The Vatican's Fabrica di San Pietro receiving a challenge from Pope Francis. As Kelsey Gussie with Vatican News tells us, a pope invited members of the organization to use modern technology to preserve St. Peter's Basilica in a proper and constructive way.
Pope Francis met with a centuries-old Vatican institution that is charged with the maintenance and preservation of St. Peter's Basilica, the Fabrica di San Pietro. The pope challenged the members of the Fabrica to use the latest technologies to help in their apostolic ministry. He warned, however, that they must be used in a proper and constructive way, as they certainly hold potential but are also ambivalent. If not, it is as if the frame becomes more important than the picture. This rule is essential in the care and conservation of St. Peter's Basilica to ensure it is a living place of faith and history, Pope Francis said. For the millions of people who come from around the world to the Basilica, he says it must be a place where all feel welcome. those with faith and those seeking faith. The tomb of the Apostle Peter is at the heart of the Basilica. The Pope urged the Fabrica di San Pietro to carry out its restoration work in a way that respects the Basilica's sacredness. It should mimic the mission of the first pope by accompanying pilgrims and supporting their journey. To accomplish this, Pope Francis offers three criteria to keep in mind: adopting a prayerful attitude, the gaze of faith, and the touch of the pilgrim. Beyond the physical work in the Basilica, the Pope also turned his attention to another work of art that takes place in this sacred place. He reflected on the role of confessors, expressing his wish there always be confessors available for those visiting St. Peter's. In this world so artistic and beautiful, the Pope said, there is also the art of personal communication, which includes that confessors must forgive everything. No matter who they are or what religion, the Pope urged, let no one leave without a blessing.
Joe Biden welcoming Israeli President Isaac Herzog to the White House today. The two leaders are expected to talk about the ongoing conflicts in Gaza and Lebanon. This meeting comes as Israel faces a U.S.-imposed deadline this week to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza or risk restrictions on further security assistance. Following the talks with Herzog, President Biden will sit down with the President of Indonesia, who recently spoke with President-elect Donald Trump to congratulate him on his victory after arriving in the U.S. on Monday. Liz Warner tells us New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli is leading the investors' lawsuit against Texas-based CrowdStrike after last summer's massive computer outage.
The July outage disrupted banks, airlines, supermarkets, and many other industries, costing billions, with CrowdStrike's failed software update blamed. Delta Airlines was particularly hard hit, canceling thousands of flights and stranding passengers for days. As a result, CrowdStrike's stock plummeted, and DiNapoli is leading the class action lawsuit on behalf of investors, including the New York State Common Retirement Fund, which serves about a million government employees. DiNapoli is arguing that CrowdStrike misled investors by falsely touting its safeguards and quality assurance.
New York Mayor Eric Adams wants his corruption trial to begin earlier than scheduled so that he can focus on getting reelected. The trial has been set to start in April of next year. In a letter to the federal judge presiding over that case, his lawyers asked for a new start date of April 1st rather than April 21st, writing it would uphold his right to a speedy trial and would allow him to take part in his reelection campaign. The lawyers add that with the April 21st start date, the trial would not be over until a month before early voting begins in the Democratic primary, and that the earlier date would rid voters of the distraction that misguided indictment as they evaluate Democratic candidates for mayor. Scott Pringle tells us forest fire rangers continue to battle wildfires in New Jersey, with one large one on the New York border still out of control.
The fire on the border of Passaic and Orange counties has now chewed up about 3,000 acres and is only 10% contained. Some structures are being threatened, and Warwick police, they've been knocking on some doors advising residents to evacuate. Meanwhile, Pompton Lakes Mayor Michael Cerro says forest fire rangers remain in his community after a fire ate up 181 acres.
Friday night, the winds picked up, and that's when it took off, and that's when it all started again. And that's what happens with these wildfires. You get them down to almost zero, and then the winds pick up, and you're back at problems.
Forest fire officials in New Jersey have responded to more than 500 wildfires since the start of October.
And Lucinda Kay says new laws will helpfully help you mitigate travel headaches coming up in the holiday season.
The new rules are supposed to help you in the middle of delays, cancellations, and lost luggage. Refunds for canceled or significantly delayed flights are now automatic. Supposedly, you won't have to jump through hoops to get your money back. And if your checked bag arrives more than 12 hours late, you're entitled to a refund for the baggage fee. Some good tips from travel experts: they say use a luggage tracker like an Apple AirTag and book morning and nonstop flights. That'll help minimize the risk of cancellations.
Spirit Airlines, American Airlines, and JetBlue are suspending flights to Haiti. This after a Spirit plane was hit by gunfire yesterday. It happened while it attempted to land in the capital, Port-au-Prince. The aircraft was flying in from Fort Lauderdale, diverted to an airport in the Dominican Republic where it landed safely. At least one person, a flight attendant, was grazed by a bullet. Spirit is suspending flights pending further review, while American and JetBlue are canceling flights through at least Thursday. And it's been more than a 50-year wait, but an Oklahoma City Marine veteran injured in the Vietnam War finally has his Purple Heart. Jimmy Olheiser was only 19 when he was hurt in September of 1968. His Purple Heart awarded yesterday at the Norman Veterans Home.
Our country is a better place because of your service, and I am grateful Oklahomans can call you one of our own.
A staff member at the facility reading from a letter from U.S. Senator James Lankford to Olheiser. Olheiser was shot in the head during combat. He was in a hospital for more than a year before the military retired him. And finally, in our news segment, Bree Tennis tells us in the fall and winter, we crave those spicy foods. And it turns out there's science behind it.
Capsaicin is the hot in chili peppers, and eating it triggers your body to warm up. It also makes you release endorphins that make you feel good. Healthline says that dash or two of Tabasco, Tapatio, or even Sriracha can also reduce stress, anxiety, and boost weight loss. Experts say shake away. You really can't overdo it when it comes to spice because hot sauce is not chemically addictive.
It is just about 15 minutes past the hour on a busy Tuesday morning. Looking forward to having a great conversation with our friend and fellow radio host, Dr. Greg Popcheck, co-host of More to Life, heard every day right here on EWTN, also with CatholicCounselors.com. Noted author and speaker will talk about all the meltdowns and the crazy things being said. Are the meltdowns real? And if they are, what can we do to help people really get a grip in terms of refocusing and looking at the most important thing, that is Jesus, who is everything. He is our all, and this is an opportunity, I think, for more evangelization. We'll talk with Dr. Greg up next. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Appreciate the great work of my colleague here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, Dr. Greg Popcheck, and his wife Lisa from the wonderful program co-host More to Life. Greg is with us this morning, of course, as someone with an incredible background as an author, speaker, psychologist. CatholicCounselors.com is the website, and of course, the show is heard every day here, right here at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. So, Greg, we sent you, my wonderful producer Andrew sent you the clip of this Yale psychiatrist, and she was talking with MSNBC's Joy Reid, and they were encouraging not spending time with loved ones over the holiday season if they voted differently. And to me, I thought, well, wait a minute. And I went back and I listened to that clip two or three times to make sure that they didn't say, we're not talking about going into a very, let's say, volatile situation and dangerous situation, maybe where you have relatives who are verbally abusive. God doesn't expect us to be treated that way if they continue to agitate and attack and again, you know, be very insulting. That's what they're talking about. They're just saying people who voted differently. And in this case, they were talking about people who voted for Donald Trump. That to me is so destructive because they're talking about separating families. What are your thoughts on that? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it's kind of Orwellian, right? I mean, you know, like you said, you know, she starts out reasonably enough by saying, you know, just because somebody is a family member doesn't mean they have a right to your time. You know, it's dependent on how they treat you. And it's like, well, okay, that's reasonable enough. But then she kind of goes on to say that essentially the people should be punished for wrongthink. that if someone votes differently than you, then it's okay to just say, well, I'm not going to be around you anymore because you voted in a way that I don't like, that goes against my beliefs or my lifestyle or whatever. And, you know, it strikes me as tremendously childish because, you know, in a pluralistic society, we ought to be able to engage people who don't think the same way that we do and learn from each other. And be able to respect each other enough to try to find what's true, good, and beautiful in the things that each of us finds the true, good, and beautiful. And that's hard to do, granted. I mean, you know, if things had played out differently and the election had gone the opposite way, I'd be saying the same things to, you know, all the more conservative people that were upset by it. It's a matter of we need to learn to listen. And when things, you know, when people disagree with us, when people think differently than we do, that the first thing we need to do is say, well, tell me more about that. Help me understand
right,
where you're coming from and
right?
why you think
yeah.
the way you do. Mm-hmm. Exactly, so that we have a chance to learn from each other and then hopefully be able to influence each other in positive, healthy ways.
How do you, and this is, I think you just answered it, but how do you survive in a world if you can't accept the fact that not everybody is going to agree with you and some people are going to disagree with you very strongly? I mean, you're going to find that in church, you're going to find that at the gym, at work, even at home in some cases. There are lots of people who may be living in the same household and have very different beliefs. How far have we gone down, I don't know, this rabbit hole in our country where we have to promote disunity among families because we disagree with people?
Well, and that's why I think that this whole approach is ultimately going to implode on itself, because your comfort zone is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller until, you know, you get suffocated by it. I mean, there's no way to find a place small enough that contains, you know, only people that think exactly the way you think. And so I think the project is doomed. But it's painful, you know, in the meantime, because all of a sudden people that we love that think differently from us aren't going to be showing up at Thanksgiving or are going to be cutting us out of their lives. And that's very difficult to deal with.
So what do you do? I mean, you mentioned earlier, and I think this is a great suggestion, ask questions, sit down, try and talk. What would you recommend if this is happening in your circle of family and friends?
Well, this is a call we get a lot on the program, especially the day after the election. We handle a lot of these kinds of questions. And so the first thing, you know, is you want to acknowledge, you know, look, I understand that you're upset. And I get it, you know, and even being able to empathize and say, you know, if things had gone differently, I'd probably feel a lot of the same things that you're feeling right now. And I'm really sorry you're going through that. And I'm happy to give you some space if you need it. But then going from there and saying, but when we come out of this, I just like to think that there's more to our relationship than politics. And that I want you to know that I want to be here for you in whatever ways that I can, that I love you. And, you know, I'd love to be able to sit down and talk through this if you're interested, or at least, you know, focus on the rest of the things that are good in our life and our relationship, you know, but I will leave that up to you. You know, so you're respecting the boundary, you're empathizing with them, but you're also trying to do a little gentle reframing by saying, you know, that there is more to our life and our relationship with each other than just this. And we can disagree passionately about some of these things, but we still, you know, I still love you, and I still would like to think that you love me, and would like to find a way to be able to relate to each other in spite of our differences. And then you kind of put that out there, because that's a very reasonable and empathetic approach, mm-hmm. and it's hard mm-hmm. It's hard to feel good about rejecting that.
Yeah.
And so you hope that person's conscience works on them in time.
And so in terms of what we're seeing out there online, you saw the clip, Andrew sent it to you, but there is also some pretty off the rails things that some people are saying. There's a woman calling for women to leave their husbands if they voted for Donald Trump. There's no way you should be in the same house with these men. You know, shoring up all the birth control, getting this, that, and the other thing, making sure you're covered so you don't die in the streets, God forbid, if anything happens. And then don't get married, don't date. They're calling it the 4B. Don't get married, don't date,
right,
don't have
that.
Children, don't have sex. So
it reminded me of the old lips that touch liquor, she'll never touch mine prohibition, you know, parody. Have mm-hmm. you ever seen that that picture? But yeah, no, it's kind of It's all very emotional, very reactive, and you know, I think that you know, there's no way to really engage with it, because when a person's in that space, what they're really saying is, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. And so the more you try to approach them logically, the worse it gets. So the only thing you can really do in a situation like that is say, you know, I really completely understand that you're upset about this. I completely understand that you feel powerless. I understand that you feel frustrated. You know, I wish I could take that away, but you know, when you feel up to it, I'm ready to kind of be here for you, and I love you, and you know, let's try to refocus on what we do have in common, and try to make that appeal. You know, so, but there's no way to engage logically with any of this kind of emotional reactive stuff. People are just venting their pain and venting their spleen, and so, you know, if you can, you know, say, you know, look, I realize this comes from a real place of hurt and a real place of fear and a real place of concern. I'd like to understand better where you're coming from. Leave right. that door open.
So ask those questions, yeah. More exactly. with Dr. Greg, and we'll ask some other questions, too, about how we can respond. And I want to play a really good clip from Patricia Heaton, of course, a wonderful actress, and now she's out there. She's been out there online for a long time supporting Catholic and other Christian principles, and she had some pretty good things to say about the meltdown and how we should help, how we can help people. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest from More to Life. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to him, to live the life that he is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose him or not. But if we choose him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
Minutes past the hour. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. Always great to catch up with our very own Dr. Greg, Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life, which airs daily, and the website for more information, CatholicCounselors.com. Many, many books by Dr. Greg and his beautiful wife, Lisa, all kinds of great advice. And I understand before we get back on the topic, you were just speaking at the Bishop's Conference, correct?
Yes, Lisa and I were presenting to the Bishop's Committee on Marriage and Family Life on our work of, about creating households that can raise the next generation of faithful Catholic kids. You know, only we're losing about 85% of our kids. 85% of children raised in Catholic homes won't be faithful Catholic adults. So we have research from families that have successfully raised all of their children to faithful adulthood and what they do differently. And so we were talking with the bishops about what that research teaches. And we actually support families in living those practices out on our Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M, if you'd like to learn more about that.
Awesome. So we were talking during the break, and you made another great point, Greg. You were talking about how we don't teach engagement anymore, because we were discussing how amazing it is to us to look back, for example, at the relationship, and they were very open about it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia were buddies. I mean, they were really good friends, and yet they were polar opposites in terms of their belief system and their politics and how they viewed the law, and yet they were always able to come together and still be friends.
That's right, and I think it strikes people as crazy these days that you could do that, but that used to be a skill, and it's a skill that has to be taught. And unfortunately, I think in the universities where it was mostly taught, it's not happening now because universities are focusing on creating safe spaces instead of teaching these kinds of skills regarding engagement. The idea that, you know, when I'm talking with someone, I should be listening for what it is that I can relate to, what I can appreciate, you know, what is the truth and the goodness and the beauty that they are expressing, even if I disagree with the way they're expressing it or how they're trying to meet those needs. And when I can do that, I can at least appreciate where that person is coming from and see them as a human being with real needs and with real concerns that deserve to be attended to, even if I disagree with the way they want to go about it. And because I can still see them as a person, I can go out for a drink with them after our argument. You know, I can have them over for the barbecue, even though we don't agree with each other. But we don't teach that anymore. We teach that if you feel at all uncomfortable in the presence of somebody else who thinks differently from you, you have to retreat to your safe space.
Which we saw, and not as many college campuses did this after last Tuesday's election results. In 2016, it was over the top ridiculous. There were still those in Washington and elsewhere on the East Coast that provided the safe spaces and the cocoa and, you know, the different other exercises in which the kids could participate to get over their trauma. To me, it's not teaching them how to live in a real world.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, and so this, I think what we're really lacking is this idea of pluralism. You know, that we are all different people who need to learn to relate to each other. Instead, we are kind of adopting this very kind of narcissistic, individualistic idea that, you know, you have a right to be comfortable at all times, and if somebody threatens your comfort, well, then you need to get rid of them because they're a threat to you. And the more we do that, as it goes back to what I was saying before, I think the more your life collapses in on you and your life becomes smaller and smaller and smaller until you feel suffocated by it.
How much of what we're seeing, these meltdowns, these very dramatic people banging their heads on the steering wheel, screaming bloody murder, tearing down signs, cutting their hair. I mean, how much of this is real? How much of it is clickbait, do you think? I mean, you're an expert at this stuff. You deal with this a lot.
You know, it's a little hard to say because, you know, it's they feed into each other, right? So I feel impassioned and I, you know, tend to be a more dramatic person. I crave the attention. And so I'm venting my spleen in ways that I end up getting rewarded then because I get clicks. So I think it becomes a self-referent, you know, it's the snake that eats itself, you know, it's the it's the self-rewarding cycle. And I think that what it's this very dramatic sense that, you know, I my needs, my feelings are the most important thing, and I want to be validated for my feelings. Unfortunately, you know, and everybody wants to be validated for their feelings. Of course they do. But unfortunately, if we're not checking that reaction against, you know, truth, I mean, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about holding every thought captive in obedience to Christ. If we're not reflecting on those feelings in the light of truth, in the light of what's right and what's good, then we end up just getting sucked down a rabbit hole where we can't ever pull out of our emotions, and we can never get enough validation. And so we end up just becoming crazier and crazier in response to that and in an attempt to try to feel better. And we can't end up feeling better that way.
Let me share a clip with you that I ran yesterday in the first hour of the program of Catholic Connection. I think this is really well said. Patricia Heaton, of course, the star, one of the stars of Everybody Loves Raymond. She's very conservative politically and a devout Catholic Christian and very involved in supporting Israel. And she had some statements over the weekend about the election. Take a listen.
I saw the results of the election, which is very good for the Jewish people. And I've also seen a lot of the response videos, especially from women who are crying, screaming, shaving their heads, saying they're going to be jailed or rounded up or killed or hunted or whatever. We need to pray for them. And I just want to say to all you folks who feel that way, don't make politics or identity groups your religion. Only Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your faith in him, not in men, not in men's institutions, not in humans' institutions. And let me tell you, I've been to the kibbutzim where women and babies and families were captured and killed and slaughtered and stolen. You're fine here. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Secondly, to whatever groups, whatever media, whatever pundits, all these extremists that are allowed television time, who told women that this is what is going to happen to them, shame on you. Shame on you. Apparently, there's some really vulnerable people here who you targeted and you fear-mongered to, and you need to go back on the air and tell them things are going to be okay and tell them that they're fine. And also, stop saying that people who voted differently from you are, quote-unquote, uneducated. Learn your lesson about smearing people who feel differently from you, who have different needs from you, and who have legitimate complaints. Quit dismissing them as uneducated. When are you going to learn?
So what do you think? I think that was very well said, and especially showing concern for the people who are having a meltdown.
No, I think that was very compassionate and some tough talk for the media, but I think very true, and it needs to be said. You know, I your point about clickbait before, I think that's really what drives most of the media these days. I was looking on CNN this morning, and like the 9 out of 10 stories are opinion. An analysis. There's not a single news story on the entire page. You know?
Right.
And it's insane. You know, and then the press wonders, why don't we trust them? Well, because you're constantly telling us what to think and what your opinion is, instead of telling us what happened and letting us make up our own minds. And it's specifically, it's all about the fear mongering that Heaton was just talking about there. You know, the more we can foment anxiety and panic and, you know, frustration and anger, the more clicks we get and the more money we make. And that's really what drives the media now, not serving the truth.
Amen. Well said. So are you going to be addressing this again anytime soon, do you think? Maybe when we get closer to probably, I would think, the inauguration next year? You can talk about it again?
Yeah, we're talking about it. It's a constant topic on the show. In fact, today we're talking about masters of manipulation today on the show. And I think a lot of this emotional stuff, it comes down to that same idea. So, yeah, tune in later today. We'll talk about it more.
Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life. We'll be right back. Kelly Solomon up next from the Cardinal Newman Society. Stay tuned.
What are we asking God the Father when in the Lord's Prayer we plead, "Thy kingdom come"? The Catholic Catechism states the kingdom of God lies ahead of us. It is brought near in the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. It is proclaimed throughout the whole gospel. In Christ's death and resurrection, it has come in the Eucharist. It is actually in our midst. When Christ hands it over to the Father, the kingdom will come in glory. Saint Cyprian speculates the kingdom of God may even mean Christ himself coming into our lives. In the context of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come" is referring primarily to the final coming of the reign of God through Christ's return. Since Pentecost, the coming of God's reign is the work of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The end times in which we are living is the age of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
appreciate the great work of our friends at the Cardinal Newman Society. Kelly Salomon is the VP of the Newman Guide Programs. And Kelly, I think it really emphasizes with everything that's going on. I was just discussing, as I mentioned to you during the break with Dr. Greg Popcheck, the fallout that's going on, many people expressing severe emotional situations, breakdowns, really just getting hysterical online. And some of it may be real, maybe some of it not, but we need to pray for those people and to let them know that we're there for them. But part of the issue, I think, too, has to be the result. Many of these people, no doubt, are probably coming out of extremely woke schools that said it's all about you and everything of the world is your oyster and you're not going to have any challenges, because you still have some of these schools, even though, as I mentioned during the segments with Greg, it's not as bad as it was in 2016, where it seemed to be happening on so many college campuses. But this time around last week, it was Wednesday of last week, they were already offering these safe spaces and hot chocolate and places where the kids could go. And I think that's a product of a bad education. I'm just wondering your thoughts in light of what you do with the Cardinal Newman Society.
Yes, you know, here at the Cardinal Newman Society, we believe strongly in the importance of faithful Catholic education, that it's a great foundation for life and for your formation as a whole person. And it's grounded in reality, and it's grounded in the truths of our Catholic faith. And our young people today need this education more than ever. The high rates of loneliness and depression and the needing the safe spaces, and that Catholic, strong Catholic education can give students a solid foundation that they need to be confident Christians in the darkness that we see in the world today.
Yeah, you put out a press release right before the election, A Growing Light in the Darkness, Newman Guide Colleges Increase in 2024-25. What are you seeing?
Yes, this is great news at the faithful Catholic colleges that we recommend in the Newman Guide. Many of them are experiencing enormous enrollment growth this year, which is great news, especially since college enrollment overall is dropping significantly. Newman Guide colleges are attracting families at record rates, and many of them are boasting record enrollments this year.
So why do you think that is?
I think more and more families are seeing the great and enormous value of a faithful Catholic education. They're seeing how the Newman Guide colleges stand out among all Catholic colleges in the country, and seeing the difference of the formation and education they provide over a secular education. You know, at the Newman Guide colleges, you get an education that integrates the Catholic faith in all your courses. You get a residential life that promotes virtue and growing in that virtue. You're surrounded by students that hopefully you'll make friendships with that will build you up in your faith and become lifelong friends. I mean, this is a really wonderful opportunity of what these colleges are providing. Catholic families need to go and check out these campuses and think about the type of person their student can become at the end of 4 years attending a faithful Catholic college, where hopefully they'll have grown in virtue and wisdom, have made great friendships, and also be prepared for their career in any field.
Now, you mentioned in the press release three new Newman Guide recommended colleges opening this year alone.
Yes.
Can you tell us who those are, what schools they are?
Yes, Teresa, one of them reminds me of you because it's based in Italy.
Yes, I know. Woohoo! I see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On one of your upcoming trips, Catholic Institute of Technology and Catholic and also Italy just opened this fall. They focus on the STEM majors, but also offer a great foundation in Catholic theology and philosophy. St. College of St. Joseph the Worker is in Steubenville, Ohio, so you benefit from everything already, you know, happening with Franciscan University just across the road. And this is focused on preparing students for careers in the trade, and again, combines it with a great Catholic liberal arts core curriculum and then training in the skilled trades. And Rosary College in Greenville, South Carolina is the third college we just added to the Newman Guide. And Greenville is a wonderful Catholic community. I don't know if you've been there, Teresa, but they've got very vibrant
parishes. Yes, I have. It's amazing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great schools. And now they've got a great new Catholic college. It's offering an associate's degree, so a 2-year degree right now. Wonderful Catholic curriculum. And they have partnerships worked out with several Newman Guide colleges where students can go on and finish their bachelor's degree at one of the select Newman Guide colleges.
What about costs? And I know that's a concern for a lot of families, because some of the schools, as fantastic as they are, they can be kind of pricey for families, especially if families have multiple children that eventually have to get through college.
Yes. I encourage families to look beyond the sticker price, look at the net price of what families are actually paying. Is often a lot lower than the sticker price that that is listed. And I encourage families to talk with the admissions departments at these colleges. Oftentimes, they're able to work out situations for families, especially with large numbers of children, of how they can make this affordable. Many of them offer work-study opportunities. I know many students work hard over the summer at jobs to help pay for their education. The St. Robert Bellarmine Fund is also one of my favorite recommendations to Catholic families. They offer scholarships exclusively to students who are attending a Neumann Guy College. And their scholarship application just opened until January 31st. And they offer 10 scholarships every year that are $8,000 apiece, renewable over 4 years. So they're significant scholarships. The Carl Neumann Society has our own scholarship that will be opening in December as well.
We're talking with Kelly Solomon, the Vice President of Neumann Guide Programs at the Cardinal Neumann Society. Give us a website. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What's your website, Kelly?
Yes, cardinalneumannsociety.org. And Neumann is N-E-W-M-A-N, cardinalneumannsociety.org. They can go to the Neumann Guide section of the website and check out the faithful Catholic colleges that are experiencing the enormous enrollment growth this year, and also our K-12 schools and graduate programs that we have recently added to the Neumann Guide.
Are you finding, Kelly, that there are some families that may have sent their young people to other universities or high schools that are coming to you and saying, okay, this is obviously not working. Houston, we have a problem in terms of the wokeism and some of the left-leaning things that they're trying to teach at these Catholic schools, and they decided they need a change. Are you seeing that as well?
Yes, that's one of the most frequent calls I get in the first, after, say, the first 6 weeks of the college semester, and families realize, oh, this is not the environment we hope for our son or daughter. We've spent all these years investing in their Catholic formation and upbringing at home, and now, you know, they're going off and they immediately got caught up in the wrong group on a campus. They have no support in their faith. They're being indoctrinated by agendas that are being pushed in the classroom. And they want to know, you know, where can they go? And I point them to the Neumann Guide and these faithful Catholic colleges that we recommend. I mean, there's so many great options, and so many of the popular majors and activities that families are looking for are available at these colleges. I mean, here's Benedictine College. They have record enrollment this year at over 2,000 students, and their engineering and other programs have become very popular. Ave Maria University in Florida, record enrollment, more than 1,000 students. It's close to capacity. You know, it's recently founded, and they've grown 29% in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So families are quickly seeing, you know, what other institutions are offering, and they're realizing that in this darkness and this culture that's pulling young people away from the truth of our faith, that college is still such a pivotal time to be formed in our Catholic faith.
What should parents, when they start going, let's say, on those informational weekends with their students, with their, you know, their kids who are going to be enrolling in a particular school, going to check out, and they see certain things, what should they be looking for? Because I know I have friends, one of my best friends is still looking at colleges or her daughter, and they say one of the big indicators of how they don't want their daughter to attend a school, and the daughter even says it because she's a very faithful Catholic, is when you go to, let's say, the orientation meeting, and the first thing they start talking about is the LGBTQ agenda, the transgender agenda, encouraging young people, even if, you know, they're not identifying differently than their actual biological sex, you need to not just be respectful of these folks, which obviously we teach in the Catholic faith, but no, you need to join these organizations even if you don't live that kind of a lifestyle. Really heavy pressure, all the focus
right.
on extreme wokeism. But what else should parents right. be looking for when they go for these orientations, Kelly?
Yes, yeah, student clubs and campus newspapers are a great indication of what kind of culture there is on campus. Mm. You know, at Neumann Guy Colleges, they only approve student clubs that are in line with our faith. And you'll see the same things reflected in their campus newspaper. It's very eye-opening to read, you know, what students themselves are saying at other colleges. And is quite shocking for a lot of families. I'd also encourage you to check out the student residences on campus. Do they offer single-sex residences? If students can visit each other's dorm rooms, are they allowed to stay late into the night? Does the door need to be open while they're visiting? You know, some of these common sense policies that we institute in our own homes, you know, will that be carried through while they're in college as well? Of course, you know, go to a daily mass on campus. See what percentage of the students are at daily mass on campus. Will they be able to very quickly find those friends that are going to lift them up in their faith? So many Newman Guy colleges have packed daily masses at several times of the day. And so there's this very positive peer pressure, right, of growing in your faith over those 4 years.
Yeah, get to mass as opposed to avoiding. That's great advice. And I love the point, Kelly, about looking at the newspaper and what they're covering and how they're covering it. That's very indicative of what's going on in that campus.
Yes, and I'm sure there's lots of student write-ups after the elections, and that's really good indication. You know, we send out a Newman Guide newsletter every month at the Colonel Newman Society. We include a wake-up call section in our newsletter. Uh-huh. What some of the issues we see on other campuses. And we encourage families, you can go to cardinalnewmansociety.org and you'll be signed up for our emails. And it'll give you an idea of what's taking place on these campuses.
And so when do you encourage, like if they've got a person who's a junior in college, when do you encourage folks to start looking at campuses? How soon in advance? Should you go visit? Should you check it out? Is there a rule or a general suggestion?
Sure. So you can always do the weekend visits or schedule a day. But what is really great is that many of the Newman Guy colleges offer week-long summer programs. And so the summer after your sophomore year or your junior year, go and spend a week at one of these Newman Guy colleges. Sometimes when I talk to parents and they're totally on board with their students going to a Newman Guy college, but maybe the student isn't so sure, they send them to a week at one of the Newman Guy colleges over the summer, and that convinces them that, you know, they're going to have lots of fun, make great friends, but be in a really wholesome environment after spending a week at one after their sophomore or their junior year.
That's another great idea, because I know, of course, I'm out of college for a long, long time, but we had, I think, one orientation. It was just one weekend. And part of the time, the students are with the parents. The other time, we were on our own. And I don't recall, of course, maybe I'm just too old, but I don't recall having exposure to a lot of what was on campus, just the basics. So it sounds like it's gotten much more detailed, which is super important. Okay, so we can go to your website. Give us a website again. And what can we look forward to in terms of 2025 from the Cardinal Newman Society?
Sure. Go to cardinalnewmansociety.org, N-E-W-M-A-N. Check out our Newman Guide, all the faithful Catholic schools, colleges, and graduate programs we recommend in the Newman Guide. We'll be opening up our essay contest soon, and we encourage Catholic families across the country. You know, we just opened up the Newman Guide for K-12 schools. If you think your local Catholic school might be a good fit, please send them our way and encourage them to apply for the Newman Guide. What we've found is that many Catholic schools have found it to be a really helpful process of strengthening the areas of their Catholic identity that they, you know, in practice are doing a lot of great things, but they might not actually have the policies written out in their handbooks or know how to incorporate the faith in all subjects. And so even just working through the Newman Guide application process is a great opportunity to strengthen your Catholic identity and know what areas you need to improve.
That's great. Kelly, thank you so much, and please keep in touch. Always great to have you on the program, and with everything going on in our world, more evidence that we need programs like the ones Kelly is talking about in schools, and you can check it all out at the Newman Guide programs on their website. Kelly Solomon with Cardinal Newman Society, thank you so much, my dear. Good to have you on the program again.
Thanks for all your support, as always, Teresa. Keep up your great work. God bless.
You too. God bless, and have a great week, and we will be right back. It is a Tuesday morning, November 12th. Just past 53 minutes, past the hour, pushing toward the top of the hour. Hope your day is going well so far. And we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up, God willing, tomorrow on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Hard to believe it's already been 20 years of leading Catholic pilgrimages. So we're going to celebrate with a Danube River Cruise. We've chartered our own ship. We'll share meals and enjoy good Catholic fellowship together. We hope you can join us next June through Budapest, Vienna, Salzburg, Prague, and a whole lot more. But sign up quick. It's already more than half full.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
And just a reminder, all the information we share with you right here every day at Catholic Connection on EWTN can be found at our archives. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net to the archives of Catholic Connection. You can listen again. You can share the interview. A great and an easy way to evangelize. Coming up tomorrow, we will go to Rome to talk with our very own Joan Lewis. And we'll also take a look at the pro-life movement, what their plans are with the new administration and what they learned from the election and previous elections. Sean Carney will be joining us, one of the co-founders of 40 Days for Love. Have life. Have a blessed Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow, God willing, on Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.